a lot about Jesus, right? A lot about the things he's done, a lot about the things he said. The big questions. Why Jesus? Why the cross? Hopefully these questions continue to stay with you throughout this camp as you seek to find, to understand the answers to these questions. You know, in some ways we're sitting at the feet of Jesus right now, listening, learning, as he teaches us. And as you draw near to Jesus, as you're just figuring out who he is and what he's done, he draws near to you and asks you a question. He asks you a question. Who do you say that I am? Let's pray. Lord, as we reflect on this camp, reveal yourself to us in all that we are learning. Speak to us so that we may be able to answer your question. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Bring out your Bibles. We're in Matthew 16. Hopefully you've done that already. We're going to go backwards, back to before the cross, to before the Last Supper, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Back to when Jesus was still preaching and teaching all around Judea with his disciples. And we read from verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus is with his disciples, and at this point, people already know about him. All his teachings, all his miracles that he's been performing, the name Jesus of Nazareth had spread like wildfire across all of Judea. He was a bit like a modern-day celebrity. Did you hear about this new teacher, Jesus? I heard he's in town, down the road. I wonder if he's going to visit our town. I'd love to hear him speak. Have you heard about the miracles? Some say he heals people with illnesses and even things like leprosy and even makes the blind people see again. I even heard that he can raise the dead back to life. With the fame and the gossip and the rumors, they all began to spread. Of course, the kind of rumors were a little bit different from the ones we have today. Hey, who do you think Jesus is? Maybe he's John the Baptist. I've heard people say that he's Elijah, come back. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets from the olden days, risen from the dead. The rumors about Jesus emerged into a world of religious interest and fervor. Why? Because the people of Israel were waiting, hoping for the one. For when their nation would finally be restored by the one, rescued from the Romans by the one that God would send, his Messiah, his Savior, to save Israel. They were waiting. Hence why, when Jesus emerges, all of the rumors start to spread. Because when a new teacher like Jesus emerges, that's completely different from everyone else. That teaches with authority, that performs miracles, people begin to wonder, who is this Jesus? Who is this man? And so when Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? He isn't just asking them to tell him because he's curious about what people are saying. He really wants them to think. All the things that people are saying about me, why are they saying these things? Think about what I've done. What does all of my teaching and miracles actually reveal? You see, through Jesus, the blind had received their sight, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, lepers are cleansed, the lame walk, and the poor have good news preached to them. What does it all point to? What does it all say about Jesus? What does it say about who he is? And it's at this point that Jesus asks his disciples a second question. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" But who do you say that I am? This question, it's a little bit different from the first. Why? Let me show you why. I'm going to ask you two questions, and I want you to think about what the difference is. Let's see if you can hear it. Who is Jesus? That's the first question. Who do you think Jesus is? What's the difference between these two questions? Is the question that's the second one just a longer version of the first one? Actually, while these questions seem similar, there's a huge difference. A difference that I'm going to show you using my hands. In fact, you're going to do it with me. Everyone, free up some of your hands. Countrymen, lend me your hands. That's right. Get your hands free. I want to see hands. Yeah, do this for me. Great, great. I want to see everyone doing this. Yeah. Everyone. I'm looking at you. There we go. Very good. Here's the difference. Act this out with me. The first question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? One. Who do you think Jesus is? Act it out. Who do you think Jesus is? Do you feel the difference? Point at someone right now. Someone in front of you, next to you. Who do you think Jesus is? Of course, Jesus isn't asking it to you. He's asking it to you. Final one. Who do I think Jesus is? One more. Give me the fingers. Who do I think Jesus is? Great. Thanks very much. You can return to your notes or your Bibles now. Did you feel the difference in those two questions? The first question, who is Jesus? It's a question anyone can answer. And there are a number of ways to answer it. Your encyclopedia can answer, who is Jesus? Your ChatGPT can answer, who is Jesus? But the second question, only you can answer it. It's asked to you. You are the only one who can respond. You are the only one who knows the answer. That's the difference. The second question, who do you think Jesus is personal. It's deep. It's you. It's not out here, it's in here. You know, Jesus, he starts with the out there question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? What is everyone saying? What are all the people in Judea saying? The people in the streets, the fishermen, the farmers, the shepherds, the people in the cities, the people in the towns, the people in the synagogues. What's their opinion? Who do they say that I am? What is everyone saying? What are your friends saying? What are your classmates at school saying? What do the Sunday school teachers say? What do your youth group leaders say? Your parents, your siblings, the people you see at church, the people online, the people giving talks at the youth camp right now? Who do they say that I am? Then Jesus turns the question. But who do you say that I am? You've told me all the things other people say, or their opinions. You've built up a lot of knowledge over the years about what other people say, all the things you've learned. But now I ask you this question. Who do you think I am? Because for you, this is the question that matters. This is the question that matters to Jesus. He wants to know who you think he is. Why? Because we can't know Jesus personally through someone else's relationship with him. We can't speak to Jesus through someone else's conversation with him. We can't be saved by someone else's trust in him. It has to be you. We can't look around waiting for someone else to answer when Jesus is speaking to you. Jesus holds out his hand. He says, I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm looking at you, and I'm asking you the question. Are you willing? Are you willing to trust in me? We are given the responsibility, a personal responsibility, a choice. He gives us a choice, and he asks you, who do you choose to believe? There's the question. We're gathered at the feet of the good teacher. We've been at his feet this whole camp, and he's been teaching us this whole time. He's been guiding us, and all throughout our lives, he's been there. He's been watching. But now he wants an answer. He wants an answer from you. Peter responds. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Amidst all the noise, all the rumors about Jesus, Peter responds. He answers the question. He gives his response. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Christ. You are Messiah. You are Savior. You are the one that the prophecies point to, that the prophets were waiting for, God's chosen one, come to save Israel, to restore it to glory. Not like any other teacher or prophet or king, not like John the Baptist, not like Elijah, not like Jeremiah. They pointed ahead to someone else who was coming. You are the one and only, who doesn't need to point elsewhere. You point to yourself. You are the light of the world. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the Son of David, Son of Man, Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are God's own Son. No prophet or teacher could ever claim to be this, to be equal with, to be of the same character and nature as God. No one else but you. This is who you are. Who do people say that I am? The people, they believed in Jesus to some extent. Some believed in him as a teacher. You know, he seems to have a lot of good things to say. Things we can learn from, things we can use to improve. But no more. Others believed him as a prophet. Clearly, this man is connected with God. He's reminding us to worship God, to offer sacrifices at the temple. Maybe he's reminding us that God is finally working again with Israel to restore it, to save us from the Romans. But no more. Still others believed in him as a miracle worker. I've heard he can heal illnesses and sicknesses. Maybe he can heal mine and fix my present problems, fix my present physical issues. But no more than that. Is Jesus something like this to you? Someone who's an excellent example, a role model, someone you can learn from. You read the things he teaches and says, and you go, that's wonderful advice. That'll really help me in my life. Helpful guidelines to lead you through. Maybe Jesus is something like a friend you call on in times of need. When you really need something, whether it's in sickness or discomfort, or a really difficult exam or assignment coming up, something you're really unhappy about in life, whatever the reason, maybe Jesus is the one you call. Jesus is the great healer, after all. He can fix all my problems, right? Or maybe Jesus is like a reminder. He's like an alarm on your phone. I haven't been a very good Christian lately. Maybe I should pray more or read the Bible more. When you think about Jesus or you hear about him, that's what you're reminded of. I need to be better. I need to do better. I haven't been very good lately. Time to be a little bit more disciplined. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you believe Jesus is? For Peter, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, just what does this mean? For Peter, Jesus isn't just a helpful friend, or a part-time occupation, or an AI robot which gives you advice whenever you ask for it, or an alarm you set on your phone. Jesus is the Son of the living God. As the Christian historian N.T. Wright says, how can you live with the terrifying thought that the hurricane has become human, that fire became flesh, that light itself came to live, to life, and walked in our midst? Jesus is the complete power and sovereignty and might and majesty and glory of the living God in a man. If Jesus really is all of these things, then we might just respond to him a little bit differently. If this is who you believe Jesus is, then you can't just treat him as a partial or a part-time thing. It's all in, or it's nothing at all. He either is your Savior and your Lord, or he is nothing at all. Do we really think we can bargain with the Lord of the universe? He offers us glorious, unending salvation, life everlasting. Do you think we can just say, let me get back to you on that one? It's all in, or it's nothing. You either take it or you don't. If you're drowning in water and someone pulls you up for a second and then pushes you back in, have you really been saved? I don't think so. No, you haven't been saved at all. There is no halfway salvation. There is no halfway with Jesus. Especially because Jesus didn't go halfway with us. Jesus was all in. Jesus was on a mission. Here with a purpose. Here to be the Christ. Here for us. Let's read from verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Now, just a moment ago, didn't we find Peter to be rock solid in faith? He'd figured it all out, didn't he? "Blessed are you, Peter. You've realized who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God." But there was something missing. A final key to the puzzle for Peter's faith. What was missing? What was missing? Well, it was just what it meant for Jesus to be the Christ, for Jesus to be the Savior of Israel, to be the Savior of the world. What did it mean for Jesus to be the Christ? You see, Peter had his eyes set on the things of man. Jesus revealed to him the things of God. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, that he must be killed, and that on the third day he would be raised. Because this is what it meant for Jesus to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Savior of the world. Jesus was here for a reason, a purpose set forth by the Father for the Son, a purpose which must not be hindered, which must not be prevented, which must not be stopped. Jesus must go to Jerusalem. Jesus must go to the cross to fulfill his purpose, a purpose that only he could fulfill, to save not just Israel, but the entire world, not just to free Israel, but to free every single one of us, to free every single one of you, because each and every one of us is a sinner. All fall short of the glory of God. None is righteous, no, not one. For Jesus to be Savior, Lord, Christ, he had to come to free us, and he had to do it through the cross, to be the perfect sacrifice, to be the Lamb of God. He freed us by taking our sin, by taking your sin to the cross. He frees us through his suffering and his death, and he frees us to follow him into glorious resurrection life. He frees us to be able to say to him, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are my living Savior and my living Lord." What does it mean to believe in Jesus? It all depends on who you think Jesus is. Who do you say that he is? We step back and we look. We look at his life and his death and his life resurrected, risen. Who do you see? For Peter, he was halfway there at this point, but he couldn't see just yet the full picture. His faith was incomplete. Why? Because he didn't quite realize what it meant for Jesus to be the Christ. What it meant that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because Peter believed in the power of Jesus, of his majesty, that he was the Son of God, that he was God with us, the fire become flesh. But he couldn't believe that Jesus, the Son of God, in all his majesty, would choose to give up his life for us. That he would lay down his life for sinners, to save us, to save me, to save you. He saw the Lord of power, but he didn't see fully the extent of his love for each and every one of us. Who do you think Jesus is? Are you like Peter? If someone asked you who Jesus was, would you maybe even go so far as to say, "Yeah, I think Jesus is the Son of God. I think he is the Christ, Savior of the world, that he died for our sins." But would you understand what this means? What this means for you? Could you say from your heart, not just he died for our sins, but he died for your sins? That he died for my sins, for me. For many of you, you grow up in a Christian environment. You hear the name. You hear about who Jesus is. You hear stories from the Bible. You're told about who Jesus is and what he did. Even right now, you're hearing from me about who Jesus is, Messiah, Christ, Savior, Son of God. But what do you say? Is your idea of Jesus just a jumble, a hodgepodge of everyone else's ideas? A collection of things other people have said. But who do you say that I am? Maybe you're at a stage where you have an idea of Jesus, but it's not the Jesus who is, but rather the Jesus you want him to be. someone who's a little easier to follow, easier to put off, easier not to commit to. Someone who says some good stuff, who teaches good lessons, but not someone you need to commit to right now. Someone who's close to you, but not too close. You forget that the fire became flesh. You forget the power and majesty of God has come in the form of a man. You forget the one who chose to suffer and die for you, for your sins. You forget the one who rose in glorious resurrection victory. You make a version of Jesus that you don't have to commit to. But Jesus is all in, or he's nothing. Like Peter, you're challenging Jesus. You push back on who Jesus says he is, what he has done. I'm going to finish reading that quote from earlier by N.T. Wright. How can you live with the terrifying thought that the hurricane has become human, that fire became flesh, that life itself came to life and walked in our midst? Christianity either means that or it means nothing. It is either the most more devastating closure of the deepest reality in the world, or it's a sham, a nonsense, a bit of deceitful play acting. Most of us, unable to cope with saying either of those things, condemn ourselves to live in the shallow world of in-between. You cannot follow Jesus and live in the shallow world of in-between. Who do you think I am? This is the heart of the question of faith. Everyone has faith of some sort. Everyone believes different things. Some may have more faith in certain things, less faith in other things. But faith in Jesus is a little bit different. Faith in Jesus isn't about how much you believe. Faith in Jesus is all about this one question. Who do you think I am? Who do you believe that Jesus is? What do you think he came to do? What do you think he has done for you? Faith in Jesus isn't about how much you believe. It's about how much he has done for you. Jesus offers you his hand. Do you trust in me? All he wants us to do is to reach out and to hold on. We're weak. We're drowning in our sin, our debt, our shame. We can't do much. We have so very little faith. He's the one who holds us. He's the one who's strong. When we reach to him, he reaches out his hand and grabs us. As long as we don't choose to splash around in the water trying to save ourselves. Sitting at the bottom of the waterfall, jumping. Faith in Jesus is a little different from faith in anything else. Faith in Jesus isn't about holding on to all the things we have and showing them to Jesus. It's about letting go and holding on to him. Letting go of all the ideas of who you think Jesus is. A Jesus you prefer, a Jesus you'd like to invent for your own particular stage of life. Faith in Jesus is letting go of Jesus who's just a teacher or a prophet from 2,000 years ago. Letting go of a Jesus who you don't actually have to commit to. You don't actually have to believe in right now. Letting go of the idea of Jesus as a helpful waiter who's ready to serve you whenever you're ready. Letting go of who you'd like Jesus to be, and holding on to the Son of the living God. Christ, our Savior, who loved us so much that he took your sins to the cross and suffered and died for you. And when he rose from the dead, the work was finished. The victory was won. He is risen and he offers you this same life. This is Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Nothing we can do except hold on to him, to cling on to him. We trust in this Lord, this Savior. Everything that he has done, nothing of our own. We can add nothing, we can subtract nothing. Two final verses for you. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." If anyone wants to follow Jesus, deny yourself. Let go of all you think you are and you have to be. Let go of all your thoughts of who you think Jesus would be for you. Hold on to him, the real, living Lord, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. This is faith in Jesus. He is who he says he is. He's completed the salvation work already. Nothing we can add, nothing we can take away. For all who trust in Jesus, we have life in him forever. Let's pray to close. Lord, move us to respond to the question you ask us. Who do we think you are? Really, from our heart, who do we think you are? That this would be the question on our hearts. That we would seek a response, seek something to know who you are and just how glorious and precious it is to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, but that we would be able to say this from our own hearts, each and every one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.